Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are likened to them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Yet ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. For he is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. I want to look at a few things here today at these verses. And the first thing in verse number 3, But our God is in heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. The whereabouts of God. The whereabouts of God. So where is God today? Well, he's in heaven, but if you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, he indwells you. So we have a benefit that Israel's individuals didn't have. We have the indwelling Spirit, the indwelling Christ. We have God with us at salvation. God lives in us. Where is your God? You know, I think a lot of the problem with the world, a lot of reason that... That people ridicule and mock Christianity is because a lot of saved folks they don't live like they are as a God. I remember I told you this story years back, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. I remember telling this story. Well, not all of you, but some of you. This story about where Penn and Teller are, right? Crazy alleged atheists. Well, one of them said one time in an interview. He said a guy come up to me after a show or whatever, and he handed me a Bible, and he said, I took it. And he said, I went home and I thought, I really appreciate that, because if that guy really believes that there's a hell, which he didn't, the guy, Penn and Teller didn't, he said, at least he's worried enough about me and cared enough about me to try to give me what he believed was the truth. Think about that. You know, it's easy to go, well, look at that heathen, look at that atheist, look at that, you know, look at Biden, look at Trump, look at this, look at that. How about look at the fact that people have a soul, and their soul is going to burn in hell forever if they haven't trusted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Somebody did with Penn and Teller, amen? And that made an effect on them. And not only that, the statement from them affected other people that claimed to be atheists probably. And it probably affected people that weren't doing stuff for the Lord. Amen. I mean, look, where is your God? Our God's in heaven. I think a lot of Christians act like, or a lot of saved folks act like, our God is in heaven. Our God is in you. You have the ability to walk with Jesus Christ. You have the ability to be more like Jesus Christ. We can complain and we murmur. This flesh is such a spoiled brat that we like to complain and murmur about everything. But the truth is, the answer is not getting Joe Biden to think right about gun rights. The answer is not getting Trump off the stage with the homosexual flag. That's not the answer. The answer is getting people to Jesus Christ. If Biden got saved, blood-bought, born again, it would change everything for him. It would change his eternity. It would put conviction in his heart when he was wrong. Amen? I don't know if Trump's lost or saved. You can have your opinion on that. I really don't know about that. That's between him and the Lord. I don't see the fruit of it. I don't know. I've never seen him say, well, I've trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've just heard some verbiage go out. I've never seen him, I repented. Matter of fact, I've seen him say the opposite. I don't know. Maybe he is saved. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But if he's truly saved, that's the answer. Praise the Lord. And if he is truly saved, then he's going to have more attacks yet. Amen. But the answer is not, and that's why I'm saying, and I have had several invites from other pastors to go do political stuff. God didn't call me to do that. That's not my job. I'm not Paul. I don't walk in Paul's shoes. I'm not. I'm the chiefer sinner than Paul. Amen. But he never called Paul to go straighten out the government. He called Paul to preach the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood atonement to a lost and dying world. This, you know, the separation of church and state, so be it. But how about separating the world from the church? Amen. We aren't coming in here, we're going to have a political rally. We're going to invite Trump in, you know. No. No, we've only got two flags in here. The other one that he likes to fly is not going to be in here. Amen. And I don't say he agrees with it. I'm saying he panders to it. Or he has. I hope we don't do it this time. But I'm telling you, our job is not to pick a man that's going to fix things. Our job is to let the man Christ Jesus fix us. And then go outside these walls and tell people how to get saved. You know, if you pray for one guy to get in just because your wallet's going to be better, or you don't have to worry about your Second Amendment rights, you might be praying against God. Maybe God wants the other guy to get in so we can get on down the road faster. Maybe God's going to let it happen. Maybe he let it happen last time. I believe he let it happen the time before last to get Jerusalem to be identified as the capital. I believe he let that happen. And praise God for that. Not the guy that was allegedly in charge of the country, but praise God for that. You know why? Because he used Nebuchadnezzar to do stuff like that. He used King Cyrus to do stuff like that. He used other kings, other Gentile kings to do stuff like that. Were they right with God? Nebuchadnezzar wasn't. Matter of fact, Nebuchadnezzar ended up out there eating grass, right? So where is our God? Our God is in heaven, but our God indwells us. We need to get a hold of that indwelling Holy Spirit and the fact that God indwells us so we can realize we're not defeated. We have the power to keep going. Amen. We have the power to keep going because we know where we're going. Amen. And the world needs to know that we're not going to get in and play their games. We're going to stick to the truth, and we're going to do what Jesus Christ has called us to do, what this Bible's called us to do. What Paul, as an example, did was to take the focus off him and put it on Jesus Christ. Remember that? They called him Mercurius, and they were calling them God's names, and he said, oh, wait a minute now. Don't worship me, worship the Lord. And starts telling about Jesus Christ. Man's a mess. But the whereabouts of our God, he is in heaven, praise the Lord. We're with him at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and he is in us. Now look at verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. Now we see the works of men's hands. Everybody's caught up into that. Look what men can do. Look at the idols. Look at this. Look at that. Look at the other. We'll get to something else that's going to be directly connected to this here in a little bit. The work of men's hands. You know what the work of men's hands will do? Man's work will land you in hell. And worshiping man's work will either land you in hell, or if you're saved, you could still end up worshiping man's work. You know what there are churches all over on the Sabbath, allegedly, they're worshiping their works. The Amish, you know what they're doing? They're worshiping their works. They really are. I mean, you know, they're worried about whether they got the right or wrong light bulbs. I'd be more worried about what size diaper the horses should be wearing, amen? But they're worried about all this stuff. And I mean, you should be worrying about being right with God, but those things are not going to determine whether you end up in heaven or hell. There are your works are going to determine your judgment seat outcome. They're not going to determine your heaven or hell eternity. But the works of men's hands, their idols are silver and gold. You know, everybody that you're listening to on TV and on the radio and on the podcast and all this stuff, 99.9% of them, their idols are silver and gold. You're listening to people that are worshiping silver and gold. We claim to worship Jesus Christ and believe the book, and we're following, a lot of times we're not careful, people that worship, lost people that worship silver and gold. And they're telling us what to think. They're programming you what to think. And they're getting the silver and gold, and you're getting duped if you're not careful. Amen. So what are you getting duped? Well, I'm not getting silver, gold, they are. No, you're getting duped out of your time here on earth. Because your time here on earth is not supposed to be focused on this stuff. And again, I'm not telling people, pray and do what you think God wants you to do when it comes to the political stuff. But don't count. It's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in princes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you fear God, you will pray about it and do what God tells you to do. I'm not your God. Don't pretend to be. I'm just a guy that God put up here to tell you, you can find the answers through prayer in this Bible. And if you don't agree with me on something and you can show me from the Bible, I should be able to get right with the Bible. Just like you should be able to get right with the Bible. Amen. Older preachers, preachers are held to a standard that is unattainable. I mean, unattainable. There ain't no preacher should be preaching anywhere, according to most people. But preachers are men. I mean, even the women think they are. But the preacher's supposed to be a man. A man's a fallible person. I don't speak ex cathedra. I mean, if you want to hear me speak in place of God, it's going to be Scripture. And I'm not speaking in place of Him. He just sometimes we allow Him to speak through us. Amen? But the works of men's hands as silver and gold. And in verses 5 through 7, it tells you the worthlessness of their idols. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. Their idols, the worthlessness of their idols. They're worthless. And you can look at this, you can apply this to what's going on around the world. These people idolize. I mean, I can't understand it, but people idolize Biden. They idolize Trump. They idolize different figures. They idolize different rock people or sports figures or whatever. And you know what the problem with that is? Let me tell you what the problem with this. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they with their throat. Say, well, I hear them. Yeah, but spiritually, they're blind, deaf, dumb. They can't walk right. They don't work right. They don't do anything right spiritually. And because they can say something that tickles your ear, you'll follow them if you're not careful. And most of the United States, their idols are driving NASCARs, or they're bouncing a basketball, or throwing a football, or, you know, I heard a guy say the other day something about Elon Musk, the most intelligent man in the world. I'm going, really? Says Elon Musk, or who? I mean, I'm sure somewhere out there, there's somebody who's got a sixth grade education that's smarter than he is. He may not have the same vocabulary, but fancy words don't make you smart. Amen. They just make you program. I could sit up here for an hour and a half and rattle off medical terminology, and most of y'all would go, I got about 10% of that. And I'd be going, I forgot 50% of it. They go, man, how does he? Oh, no, they just took words and made $5 words into $100 words. Amen. They don't tell you about electric cars burning up all over the world. Smartest man in the world had a little bit of a problem with electric cars. Amen. And a little bit of a problem with forethought on the fact that the batteries are worse for the earth than the fossil fuel. And look, I'm not against him. Don't know that much about him. Don't worship him. Don't care one way or the other. Hope the guy's saved. Hope he gets saved. Whatever. But it's just the idea that people decide on who they're going to worship by who tickles their ear and who impresses them. You know what impressed me? Honestly, and probably not as much as it should, but that God loved me so much that He came to this earth and walked to Calvary and died on the cross to take my place. That God Himself left His throne in heaven and went to hell, a burning hell, to pay my sin debt. The smartest man in the world never done that. Allegedly, the smartest man. The Republicans never done it. The Democrats never done it. Jesus Christ did. The worthlessness of their idols. Spiritually, they're worthless. And that's what idols are. They're something set up between you and God that won't do you anything but harm. And then look at the way they're created. They that make them are likened to them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. And that talks about that. Ezekiel talks about they're out of man's heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So these idols come from the heart. They have a heart problem. They're against God, so they build these idols. And they don't want to give God the glory. They'll do anything they can to give something else the glory, and they'll build this idol, and they'll worship this idol. And that idol represents, you know who it represents? It represents the devil. No, it represents their stony heart. When people bow down to an idol that's not, and they bow down to that, and they put that in place of God Almighty, what they're doing is they're bowing down to their flesh. They've got an image that come out of their wicked heart, and they're choosing to worship that image over God Almighty. So what's the problem? It's a heart problem. What's the problem with the Democrats? Heart problem. What's the problem with the Republicans? It's a heart problem. What's the problem with saved people? Most saved people is a heart problem. And a lot of times for all of us, we have heart problems. Amen? They say, well, the idol doesn't have to be something you can tangibly feel or see. It can be something that's just in your heart that you haven't built yet. Amen? Something that's in your heart that takes your attention away from Jesus Christ. I got to be careful because I like having free speech and I like having the Second Amendment, but I don't want to worship the Second Amendment. If the Lord said, you know, they're going to take your Bible and you memorize as much Scripture, you got a week, they're going to take your Bible, memorize as much Scripture as you can, hide my word in your heart that you might not sin against me, and they took my Bible, you know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't get up every morning and look at the serial number on a 1911 and go. I try to get up every morning and the first thing I do is read this. I like shooting. I think it's great. I think it's a great American pastime and all that. I love it. I like to hear the metal ping when a bullet hits it and all that stuff. I don't get up in the morning and say, I got to get to my 40. Where's my 40 Smith & Wesson? I got to get to that and lay it on the table and go, oh, oh, oh. I don't do that physically. But if we're not careful, we're Americans and we're not giving that up. But we don't take the time to read the book. Amen. Honestly, I spent more time shooting yesterday than I did reading my Bible. So that's terrible. Well, I read my Bible yesterday. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. I spent more time shooting. And I preached a message yesterday morning in a place. And I still spent more time shooting. Or at least playing around with guns. So we got to be careful with this stuff. The things that are really important, the world and the flesh, they don't see it as important as the Spirit does. And spiritually speaking, the most important thing you can do is get a hold of God through prayer. Let Him get a hold of you through the Bible. And put some feet on those prayers and put some feet on that message you get out of the Word of God. And tell people, hey, Jesus Christ died for your sins. He rose again. And if you call on Him, He'll save your soul. I was talking to a guy, it was yesterday, middle of the day. Big old boy. I mean, like 6'8", about, it looked meaner than a rattlesnake, you know. They're usually the ones that surprise me, you know. I said, well, let me give you something to read about the Lord. And he starts reading it, and I'm talking about church, and where's your church at? I said, well, I normally don't invite folks, if I'm out of the area, I don't invite folks to church a lot, but I wanted to invite you to Jesus Christ. Start talking about religion, and he's going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He agreed with all the religion stuff about religion wants to keep you under their power. Religion wants to get your money. Religion wants you to get you to do this and do that and not know for sure whether you're going to heaven. Gave him Bible verse, you know, these things are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. You know how many preachers are willing to give that verse? If you can just know you're going to heaven and you don't need to go to church, most people won't go to church. Right? And most preachers don't even believe that verse. Or a lot of them don't. I don't say most like I'm the only one, but there are a lot of them that don't believe that. They don't believe you can know you're going to heaven. It says it in the Bible. You know what that guy did? He listened respectfully. We talked respectfully. Got to give him some Bible verses. I said, read that, would you? Big old boy, we shook hands and parted ways. He was at the store the other day, and big old boy, but not that big, but he was just a... He looked like he'd just bite the head off a pit bull, right? He's got like skulls tattooed on the back of his arms and stuff. Looked like he maybe hadn't been in this country a whole long time, you know. Looked like one of the ones that probably maybe should have been detained at the border. And that to me, I'm like, that's the guy I got to get a track to because he's probably the one to do the most damage without Jesus Christ, amen. So I said, hey, honey, you got a track? She had a Spanish track. I didn't have one. So walking down the aisle, he's walking down the aisle. I said, hey, man, how you doing? Pretty good. I said, let me give you something to read about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, El Salvador. And he said, hey, thank you. I mean, that's the guy that looked like he'd just stab you and leave you in a ditch. But you never know. I'm surprised a lot by that. I'm surprised by what people will actually listen to when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the people that will listen and sometimes the people that won't. Another guy, clean-cut guy, walking through the parking lot, didn't look like he'd ever said a cuss word in his life. I said, hey, let me give you something to read about you. No, I'm good, thank you. I said, don't go to hell, man. You need to get saved. I'm good. And then the gang member, the murderer-looking guy, oh, thank you, man. My money is sometimes these people read those and get saved. Amen. How many of those guys are going to read them and get saved if none of them are handed out? I don't know. Less. Amen. Less. So the way they're created is that the image is man's heart, the man's heart problem. That's why the idols are created. And that's why we look around the world and see all this mess, because people have set up idols in their heart. And I tell you to be careful. And I'm not trying to browbeat you. I'm just trying to, and I don't know anybody's heart here. I know that we all have a heart problem. I know our heart's deceitful and wicked. It's desperately wicked. The Bible says in Jeremiah, I understand that all of us, not just some of us, but all of us have a problem with the heart that we have to be careful about. And I'm saying be careful that you're actually worshiping God instead of worshiping the flesh. So what if they take your guns? Be a bad day and you're out a couple $1,000 or whatever. You can still live for the Lord. You can still read your Bible. You can still walk with God. You can still witness for God. I mean, I'm sure that if they took your guns, the next thing they would try to take is your right to preach. I understand that. But while you got it, use it. The guy on a video the other day, he had an ammo wall that was stacked all like two or three deep, the whole wall, like 10 by 14 or something, just stacked with ammo. He was prepared. And I'm thinking, where's his Bible? What if Satan comes in your house, what are you going to do, shoot him with a 9mm? Right. Right. The Lord says, you know, you can do right, and Satan comes along, he says, I want you to do, you don't want to do what the Lord says. You want to do this, you're going to go, well, yeah, but I got a 9mm. So what? Devil don't think twice about that. Matter of fact, he'd like to get you to worship it. Amen. Better to trust the Lord to put confidence in man. And I'm not against the Second Amendment. I'm against gun rights. But, I mean, my confidence, if I can take care of my household, somebody comes and breaks in my house at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's when they'll know whether or not I got firearms. Amen. But I'm asking God to help me guide my shot and get me and my wife through that. Or let them be a good shot and just take us home. Get this out of here. Get this over with. Don't maim us and leave us flopping around like fish. You know what I mean? But the thing is that you got to be careful where you put your affections. And I'm not against it. Thank God we do have the rights we have. But when the rights become idols, and God gets put back on another shelf, and those rights are between you and Him, then we're just as bad as Israel in the Old Testament. The ways that they're created out of the thoughts and intents of man's hearts. He creates those things because of a wicked heart. Look at 9 through 13. 9 through 13, O Israel, trust thou. We won't go all the way to 13. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is our help. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron, the willing God. You know what He's willing to do? He's willing to let you worship Him and bless you. Amen. Them idols, they don't do anything. You can worship them. They're not going to bless you. But God's willing to bless you. He's a wonderful God. Look at verse 5 through 7 again. Those idols, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. God's a wonderful God. You know what He does? He got a mouth, and He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. Sometimes the pastor's the Lord's mouth. But He'll speak to you right here. God will speak to you. And if you read the book and pray when you're away from the book, He'll speak to you through the book when the book's not in your hands. Amen. God's a good God. He's got a mouth and He'll speak to you. He's got eyes and He sees you. Idol don't care what you're doing. God does. Idol doesn't care how you're doing. But God does. He has ears and He'll hear you. The Old Testament, they put up them idols. They do it today in different religious systems. They put up them idols. They'll bow down and worship them. and all this stuff, and they don't hear them. They don't hear, that idol doesn't hear anything they're saying. That idol's not going to do anything for them. But God will listen to you. He'll hear you. You ever feel like nobody cares at all? You ever felt like that? Everybody in here's felt like that. Probably in the last 6 months, you felt like that many times, like nobody even cares. And then you open the Bible and you start praying, and God says, I still care. Just because he's not showing up and sitting next to you and putting his physical arm around you doesn't mean he doesn't care. Amen? Hey, God has a mouth, he'll speak to you. He has eyes, he sees you. He has ears, he'll hear you. He has a nose. You know what he knows? His nose does? It evaluates your sacrifice to see whether it's a sweet-smelling savor or it's something that's just going to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, God's nostrils, he's evaluating what you do and what you go through for the cause of Jesus Christ. He evaluates that. And a nose is important because it's a sweet-smelling savor to God. His senses are different than ours. And when you do something that lifts up Jesus Christ, that magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, I like that. You know what's amazing at home? We'll cook like a pot of chili or maybe a crock pot full of something or tacos or something, and you're in the house, and 2 or 3 hours after you ate, you're in the house, and you don't notice anything. You go outside, and you come back in, and you smell it like it's fresh new again. It's like, man, that smells good. I wasn't hungry until I come back in. Isn't that a wonderful thing to smell that? Something's good. Wouldn't you like to give something to God that he can say, ah, amen? He said, oh, Lord, show up, meet with us at Gateway Baptist Church. Well, how about he left last Sunday, and he was like, ah, praises to my name. And he comes back in, and he smells the same thing. Or does he come back in and says, something ain't right. Somebody done hit a skunk in here, amen? Amen? I am at the Baptist church. There's that skunk smell. Amen? I'm kind of joking, but you know, we want God to have that same, oh, I love that, that we have when we feed the flesh something that it likes. So God has a nose, and he's evaluating your sacrifice. Hopefully it's a sweet-smelling savor to God. He has hands. He finished the work on Calvary. He finished. Dagon couldn't do it. The idols of man in America can't do it. The idols the Pope sets up can't do it. The idols that save people set up in their hearts, they can't do it. Jesus Christ did it. He finished the work on Calvary so you and I could have eternal life. They have feet, but they walk not. Well, Jesus Christ had feet. You know what they did? The statues weren't doing it. The graven images couldn't do it. But God did. He walked to Calvary and put himself on that cross for you. And you know what? After you're saved, his feet will allow him to walk with you every single step of the way. Can you imagine? Remember the old, back in the 70s where they had the footprints in the sand? Where were you, Lord? And he said, well, when you see the 2 footprints and the 4, he goes, that's when I was carrying you. Wait till you get to the end and find out why there was only 2 footprints most of the time. Because he wasn't just walking with you, he was carrying you. Amen? So, well, how's he carry you? You know, most people don't get to ride that ride anymore because they don't believe the book. But if you read the Bible, this is what carries you. This is how he carries you. You suffer something that's terrible and horrible, a loss beyond human comprehension, and you open the Bible up and realize, hey, I'm still going to heaven. There's going to be a reuniting. So what are you counting on? I'm counting on the Word of God. He already told me that. Amen. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, coming to a theater soon. Amen. Hopefully now. Hopefully today. We'll get caught out of this mess. And the unsaved folks, they can fight over this garbage if they want. But the saved folks are leaving. Praise the Lord. I don't know if it's going to be a day or 10 years, but I know one thing. Where is the promise of his coming? It's right here. just because he didn't come back when you thought he was going to, or when I thought he was going to, or maybe I thought he should, or you thought he should, he's still coming back. God's not a man that he should lie. Where is the promise of his coming? It's in his word. He's a wonderful God. He'll speak to you. He sees you. He listens to you. He's evaluating your sacrifice, smelling that and soaking that in when you're doing something for him. He's finished the work on Calvary. He walked to Calvary to do it. He'll walk with you every day. And then we see verse 18, jump down to 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His soul shall make a boast in the Lord, his boast in the Lord. And the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Right over there it is. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. The worship of Almighty God, the worship of his people. His people should be worshiping him. Amen. You get past November, what is it? When do they vote again? November 5th or some crazy thing? You get to November 6th and it went your way, it didn't go your way, or you think it went your way, or whatever. Worship God. Amen. I guarantee you one thing, God's not going to be sitting up watching CNN figure out what's going on. He won't be doing that. He's not going to watch Fox News and go, air and balance, they got... You know what he's going to be doing? He's looking way down the road in eternity saying, yeah, my son's going to be reigning. My son's on the throne. My son earned it. My son's getting the glory. Every knee will bow, every tongue... God's already seen every knee bow and every tongue confess. Amen? He's not going, good night. What if Biden gets in again? Amen. What are we going to do? I mean, what if Putin does this? Well, it's not going to surprise God. Matter of fact, I think because of what Putin and China and North Korea is doing, I think it's obvious we're even closer to leaving this dumpster. Amen. I really do. I believe it's lining up. Lining up. The worship of his people. He's worthy. Like I say, I'm glad we have some people that will stand for biblical truth and stand on biblical truth sometimes. But we don't worship the people. We worship the God of the principles of those people. If they're doing the right thing biblically, it's because God said what the right thing was. It's because in the beginning, God. You know, when I got saved, that was my in the beginning God. Amen. You know what he did? He took me as a lost man, dead in my trespasses in, and gave me a new birth. In the beginning God. That was my beginning for eternity. That was your beginning. Your beginning. When you got saved, when you called on Jesus Christ, that was your in the beginning God. Amen. So worship God. If the guy you're hoping for gets elected, worship God. If the guy on the other side, whatever that may be, gets elected, worship God. He's the one that's going to fix this anyway. He's the only one that can. You know what? He's the only one that's willing to. Hear me out. God's the only one that's willing to fix this because the problems are not whether or not the Constitution is being applied correctly. The problems are not whether or not your checkbook has money, your banking account's bad or not. The problem is spiritual. And the problem is man without God has no idea how to worship God. And those of us that are saved, we really don't understand true worship. And we will one day. We will one day. When we're at the feet of Jesus Christ, and we're looking at him saying, Lord, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Hallelujah. To receive glory and honor and power and praise, all that stuff. He's worthy. What are you going to do if everything turns blue? Well, pray for the rapture. What are you going to do if everything turns red? Pray for the rapture. What are you going to do if you got up in the morning and Ed McMahon's standing at your door? I'm going to freak out because Ed McMahon died a long time ago. No. But if you stand there with a $1 million check, what are you going to do if somebody hands you a $1 million check tomorrow? Pray for the rapture.